Samuel Adams remains history's most consequential revolutionary hiding in plain sight. While Washington commanded armies and Jefferson penned declarations, it was Adams who meticulously engineered the American Revolution through sheer political genius. In 1775, a British officer identified him as the most dangerous man in Massachusetts, evasive yet blunt, gracious yet inflexible, poor yet incorruptible. Despite being hailed by Jefferson as truly the man of the Revolution, Adams has faded from our founding mythology, partly by his own design. He destroyed his papers to protect associates and focused on collective action rather than personal glory. Unlike his cousin John Adams or Thomas Jefferson, Samuel never sought the spotlight after independence, allowing his pivotal role to be obscured. Today, historians are rediscovering the mastermind who calculated exactly what was needed to upend an empire, a failed businessman who, at 41, transformed into America's premier revolutionary strategist. Who could have predicted that a Harvard-educated, failed entrepreneur would become the architect of American independence? Born in 1722 to a successful Boston maltster, Adams pursued Enlightenment studies at Harvard before experiencing directionless years, abandoning theology, law, and losing a fortune in business. Yet these apparent failures cultivated valuable traits: equanimity, immunity to flattery, rejection of social pretension, and unwavering principles. His 1743 master's thesis asked, "Is it lawful to resist the supreme magistrate if the republic cannot otherwise be preserved?" His affirmative answer, that subjects must obey lawful rulers but are discharged from all obedience when natural rights are threatened, foreshadowed his revolutionary future. During this period, Massachusetts faced economic decline with oppressive taxes and currency shortages. When Parliament declared the land bank illegal, a venture in which Adams's father had invested heavily, his family was financially ruined. This crisis established a pattern: distant Parliament overreaching its authority, raising fundamental questions about who truly controlled Massachusetts. At 24, Adams became Boston's market clerk, connecting with vendors to ensure fair trade. This role developed what we'd now call retail politics, engaging with ordinary citizens whose opinions he deemed essential. His political convictions solidified after witnessing the 1747 Knowles Riot, when Bostonians resisted forced naval recruitment, showing him that defying authority could be both necessary and effective. Adams found his voice in January 1748 by helping establish the Independent Advertiser newspaper. His writing was distinctive, calm, deliberative, precise, and logically unassailable. Liberty became his anthem, though he lamented it was more often admired than understood. He wrote, "He therefore is the truest friend to the liberty of his country who tries most to promote its virtue," establishing the moral foundation for his revolutionary work. By 1764, Adams appeared headed toward obscurity, a graying 41-year-old widower in threadbare clothes with a deteriorating house and failing business. Yet his fortunes would soon change as Parliament's overreach created perfect conditions for his unique talents to flourish. When Parliament passed the Stamp Act in 1765, Adams transformed from failed businessman to revolutionary strategist. In the Massachusetts House, he coordinated resistance across social classes by creating an organic network without a clear chain of command, what enemies called his black art of connecting like-minded men under his influence. Adams democratized politics by arranging a public gallery in the House, allowing citizens to observe their representatives for the first time. With an audience present, representatives played to the crowd. He also published House deliberations, fulfilling Governor Barnard's fear of bringing government nearer to the common people. His most brilliant innovation was creating the illusion of widespread dissent through pseudonymous writing. While his wife Betsy fell asleep to the incessant motion of the pen, neighbors saw his candlelit window where Samuel Adams was hard at work writing against the Tories. Using over 30 pseudonyms, he spoke as a one-man multitude, testing radical ideas too dangerous to publish under his own name. On March 5, 1770, British soldiers fired into a Boston crowd, killing 5 men. The next day, Adams led a committee that secured the removal of both British regiments from the city after delivering a forceful ultimatum to acting Governor Hutchinson. Adams shaped the narrative by naming it the Horrid Massacre. The town held elaborate funerals that attracted thousands, while Paul Revere's dramatic engraving depicted soldiers firing on unarmed civilians, propaganda that omitted the crowd's provocations. When the soldiers' trial ended with mostly acquittals, Adams challenged the verdict through newspaper essays. To preserve the event in public memory, Adams established annual March 5th commemorations featuring church bells and illuminated displays. These continued until 1783, when July 4th celebrations replaced them, an early example of revolutionary memory being simplified. In 1773, Parliament's Tea Act gave Adams his perfect opportunity. When the Dartmouth arrived with tea, Adams faced a 20-day deadline before customs could seize the cargo. He organized massive meetings at Old South Church, arguing that collective action would be more effective than individual restraint. On December 16th, with just 14 hours remaining before the tea would transfer to authorities, thousands gathered as Governor Hutchinson refused to let the ship leave without paying duties. After the meeting, a small group broke away silently. Soon, war whoops echoed outside as men disguised as Indians destroyed 342 chests of tea with remarkable precision in about 2 hours. The next morning, Adams noted with satisfaction the height of joy that sparkles in the eyes of citizens. In his accounts, he described the event without naming participants, stating only that, in a very little time, the tea was immersed in the bay. When news reached Britain, it delivered an electrical shock, prompting punitive measures that only accelerated the march toward independence. As the Continental Congress approached in 1774, Adams prepared to leave Massachusetts for the first time at nearly 52. His journey south became a triumphal procession, with crowds gathering to glimpse the obstreperous, rock-ribbed Massachusetts men. Yet, in Philadelphia, Adams displayed remarkable restraint, strategically allowing Virginians to lead while working behind the scenes. By April 1776, Adams began openly advocating for independence, finding alignment between South and North while Middle colonies hesitated. When Richard Henry Lee introduced the resolution to dissolve ties with Great Britain, Adams delivered what colleagues considered his finest speech in support. He signed the Declaration of Independence after having labored upwards of 20 years to accomplish the measure. Adams's later years proved challenging as revolution gave way to nation-building. His talent for grievance sharpening served rebellion better than statesmanship. Though he struggled with the federal constitution, he insisted on a Bill of Rights. When Washington visited Boston, onlookers exclaimed of Washington, Adams, and his cousin John, "Behold three men who can make a revolution when they please." Adams's enduring legacy lies in his role as a strategic orchestrator who translated grievance into action. Through political genius and principle, this failed businessman transformed a colonial tax dispute into history's most consequential revolution. Jefferson aptly called him the earliest, most active, and persevering man of the Revolution.